Our New Testament lesson comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard, so if you read along in your pew Bible, it will look different. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. And then our Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Judges, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And again, I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lappidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon, with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kedesh. Well, I was here last Sunday, and I can't compare to Pastor Steve's slideshow. But I do have one slide to share with you. This is Mount Tabor, which is in the Jezreel Valley. Of course, the buildings that are in the front probably weren't there in the time of Deborah. Now, this picture was taken from the precipice of Nazareth, where Jesus escaped his detractors. Not only did the battle in Judges take place there, but Mount Tabor is said to be the site of the transfiguration of Jesus, where he appeared with Moses and Elijah. And I can just imagine, because I'm sure I can't do it, the disciples walking up that mountain and seeing the Lord. Isn't that awesome? So that's it for my slideshow. As I said before, so often church people say that God does not intend for women to take a leadership role in the life of the church. And this passage in Judges 4, though short, definitely disputes that premise. So after the people of Israel entered the promised land, so you have to remember we've had the Exodus, and then we have the book of Joshua, where the people enter the promised land. And from that time until the time that David was anointed their king, or when Saul kind of took it away from him before that, Israel was ruled by judges. And the account of this time is recorded in that book of Judges, which is found right after the book of Joshua, the seventh book of the Old Testament. Now, there's a pattern in this book that if you read through the whole thing, you would see. So a judge rules over the people. The judge dies. The people start to disobey God. God sends down a punishment, a judgment, puts Israel into enemy hands. The people cry out to God for help. God raises up a deliverer, another judge. The judge is successful at routing the enemy. The Israelites enjoy peace. They sing praises to God. And then the judge dies, etc., etc., etc. In our passage, the judge Ehud has just died. And the people of Israel turn away from God, just like the pattern, right? And so God punishes them, and he punishes them by putting them under the control of King Jabin of Canaan, who oppressed them for 20 years. Quite the punishment for disobedience. So the people cry out to God, and God sends Deborah to be their next judge. Now, our scripture passage describes her as the wife of Lapidoth. I would say that that's a mistranslation in order to make her acceptable by more modern standards. Because the word wife in Hebrew can also be translated woman. And Lapidoth is not actually a person or a place, but rather a description. And so the word Lapidoth can mean torch or lightning. So perhaps the better translation of the Hebrew phrase would be a fiery woman. Frankly, I like that. I like that term. So judges were leaders. And most of them were military leaders, so they led the troops into battle. But Deborah was a judge who rendered legal decisions as well, unlike most of the others. The root word for Deborah is the same as the root word for speak or word in Hebrew. And so she was to give the word, she was to speak for God to the people of Israel. And the first place that we see her is sitting under a tree, rendering judgments for the people of Israel, reconciling their disputes, making decisions, and so on. And the people listened to her because she was not simply a judge, but she was also a prophet. She spoke the word of God to the people. Now, prophets served a highly political function in Israel. They declared the word of God and spoke truth to corrupt leaders for a specific time and place. And they declared whether the tribes would have victory or not. Now, Barak was the leader of the tribe of Naphtali, and he was called by Deborah in order to fight this battle. And she says, God said, you're going to fight this battle. And Barak knows that Deborah not only speaks for God, but embodies God's presence. As I said before, judges were military leaders and they led armies into battle. But Deborah wasn't just a judge. She was one who spoke God's word. And so Barak treats Deborah with respect as a symbol of God's presence and power. You know, when I first read this, I thought, what is Barak chicken that he needs to have Deborah go with him? But no, he knew that God would be going with him if Deborah went with him, because God always went with the judges. And so, like the Ark of the Covenant, she must accompany the armies into battle. And he's not about to go into battle without her. Without God's presence, the battle would certainly go against him. And so he needs Deborah's light, her fire, if you will, to shine into the darkness. Now, the interesting part of this scripture is that Deborah's word to Barak was that while he's going to go into battle, he's not going to win the battle. He's not going to be the one to kill the general of the army. There's someone coming after him that will finally win the battle. And not just any someone, but another woman, Jael. So I would encourage you to read the rest of Judges 4 to learn how Jael killed Sisera, the leader of Jabin's army, and ended up freeing the people of Israel and bringing the peace. In Judges 5, we hear the song, we read the song that Deborah sang about the battle and the victory. Now, in our other passage from Thessalonians, it indicates that there are many people who've lived disobediently. You might know some of them. You might be one of them. And they've turned from God and are walking in the darkness. Now, many of them actually know that they are lost, and they cry out to God for help. But what we know, and it is affirmed in Thessalonians, is that God has already sent a redeemer, a deliverer, Jesus Christ, to save them. Jesus is the light of the world, who can conquer the darkness that results from disobedience. And we, as children of light, are being told to speak the word of God to those who need to hear it. God is commanding us to go into the spiritual battlefield, just as Deborah commanded Barak to go to Mount Tabor. But like Barak, we do not go in alone. Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, goes with us. Jesus goes on before us, preparing the hearts of those who need to hear his word, the word of God. The battle will be hard, so we must be ready and put on the breastplate of faith and love. Faith in Christ covers us and protects us. The love of God surrounds us and spreads out to those we meet. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We must fill our minds with the word of God, which gives us the hope of salvation and the message of hope to give to those in the darkness. Like Barak, we may not be the ones to see the results of our actions. We may not experience the victory, but rather we may be preparing the way for another whom God has chosen. Regardless of the outcome, we are to be faithful, ready, and alert, because we do not know when we will be called to speak the word of the Lord to someone lost in the darkness. So I ask you, are you ready? Are you certain that you're living in the light? Have you prepared your heart for obedience? Have you prepared your mind by learning the word of God? Will the call come as a surprise, as a thief in the night, and find you unprepared? Or are you ready? If you're not, get ready and know that God will call you and Christ will go with you. Amen and amen.